Hey guys, welcome to episode 111 of the JV Club with my latest Boys of Summer guest, Mr. Jimmy Pardo. You guys have heard me wax rhapsodic, yeah, I said it, about Jimmy for many podcast episodes in the past. Obviously, I've had his beautiful wife, Danielle Koenig, on the podcast. We give her a shout out in the episode itself. And so probably comes again as no surprise to you. I don't know how many surprises you can really expect from Boys of Summer, guys. You know the guys I love, and I've asked them all. Frankly, people I love that I haven't even had a chance to ask yet, because there are some great guys out there that I am hoping to get on the podcast. So we'll see what develops. But for now, I want to assure you that you will not be disappointed by Jimmy's episode. He is, in fact, and indeed, one of my favorite people. So hopefully you will not be disappointed. If you are, I think there's a pretty good chance Jimmy and I will show up at your house and give you at least a very aggressive noogie. I want to throw a few shout outs out. I'm a little behind, but I did want to acknowledge and thank Rob, Shay, PJ, and Hannah on Cole's Nerdist page. I'm wondering if Shay might be Cole's aforementioned brother, Shay. Sean, I want to thank you for your suggestion for I'm not going to give it away, but you gave me a MASH category to use. I did use it with Jimmy, so you can look forward to that. That's what I call turnaround right there. And then in general, I just want to throw out some Twitter shout outs and thanks just from gotten some lovely Boys of Summer comments, gotten some great podcast and Quora comments, and then also a lot of really nice shout outs for the Marc Maron episode that I did that aired, I think, last week, the therapy episode where I got to play Paul Feig's co-therapist and wife. What a joy and an honor. So I was really happy to be a part of that. If you want to check it out, I'm sure you can get your hands on it post-airing. I feel certain that's how the internet works these days. And I think that's it for now. I just want to get right into the episode and talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Go ahead and start recording while you continue adjusting that. Just as long as you please. That's maybe the first time that microphone has been in a mic stand.
Seems to handle itself well.
Big deal. Can't handle itself better than you handled setting up that mic stand, which took 15 to 20 minutes.
Took a lot longer than it should have. I'll give you that.
A lot longer. Now, shake it up. Shake it up. Do you really feel like this? Now, I want to quickly...
Is this part of the program?
Yes,
it is. Are we talking about the iced tea?
Yeah, for sure. I just to set the stage, I have come to the Never Not Funny offices, the headquarters,
studio
HQ.
And office.
And I was offered a wonderful, gigantic, I almost said ginormous, changed my mind at the last minute.
You didn't have to.
Very large can of Diet Green Tea from the Arizona Tea Company. You know, I'm from Arizona.
Does that mean that anybody from Arizona gets a little piece of this?
That's right.
So whenever I buy one of these, I buy them often.
Yeah.
The fans of Jimmy Pardo know that I'm a big fan of the Diet Green Tea with ginseng.
Is the ginseng what sells you? Do you feel like you're getting an extra energy boost?
Do I feel that? I feel my brain is sharper.
And is this also in response to you deciding to drink less, like, heart-exploding drinks? Right? The Monster, like the different energy drinks?
I had a situation a couple of weeks ago where I went back on the Monster drink.
Oh, you did?
And I've never been on cocaine, but I think I know what it is. I felt like my heart was going to explode.
Yeah.
To use your words. I also had a throbbing headache. I threw up.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I vomited.
Was it the same amount that you used to drink, but you're just not, your body isn't used to it anymore?
I used to drink one of those big ones, one of those giant Monster drink, no carb.
Yeah. Like this size.
I think they're even bigger than this. This is 23 fluid ounces.
Yeah.
I think the giant one is more than that. I'm not sure.
Oh, my.
But I used to drink those on a regular basis, and then I cold turkey those. And
switched to cold turkey. L-tryptophan in it. That's the opposite of energy.
That tires you up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I had two. I had one. They were tinier cans, and I had two. And I think it was one and a half too many.
Oh.
I was flying.
It's scary.
It was. I did not like it.
Yeah,
I did
that's
not
a scary feeling.
Like it. I wanted it to stop. I laid in bed. I told my wife and son, daddy's sick. That's what I said to my son.
Yeah.
If I said that to my wife, I'd be
I'm too
to...
high. Daddy's too high right now to be a dad.
And that's awful. That made me feel bad that I could not be a dad when I got home from work, that I had to lay there and then have him stand on the other side of the door. Dad, are you okay?
Oh, no.
Dry heaving, and then eventually nothing but liquid coming up.
Were you drinking tons of water during that to try to flush it out?
Yes, I did drink a ton of water to try to offset it. And
it's almost like you should have gone on like a crazy marathon run or something. Like,
I did that as well.
Did you? Because lying still when your heart's racing, you sort of – I mean because that happened to me once. I had too much caffeine and it felt so much worse when I was still because I was so hyper aware of it that I just went out and started walking around like with purpose because it made me feel like there was a reason that my heart was pounding.
I did the same. I ran but then when I got home – the headache was so atrocious that I just had to lay down and then could not have been more grateful that it was like, oh, this wants to come out of here.
Yeah.
And then bathroom.
Yeah. Double clap. Right.
Yep.
And so now this is sort of your drink of choice.
I drink this. I actually prefer the Arnold Palmer version of Arizona tea and lemonade, that little combo, zero calorie, they call it, zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that is delicious. That reminds me of the old Nest tea. I want to say it was the old Nest tea from the 80s.
Okay.
Where it was the iced tea.
Isn't that still available?
I believe it is. And,
you've moved on, but you choose to be nostalgic about it.
Well, that was a very high sugared beverage. It was iced tea with lemon, but the lemon overpowered it. That's kind of what that Arnold Palmer is, but it's delicious.
It is delicious. I don't drink them very often.
Well, it's very good. It's very good.
Are these made in Arizona? Listen, this is an all iced tea.
I know
tea
they
podcast.
Moved to Arizona. He's got a condo made of Stona.
Oh, my.
We're talking about King Tut.
King Tut, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We absolutely 100% mm-hmm. are. It's funny because we're doing this podcast, my podcast, the JV Club, just in case you didn't realize.
Oh, I didn't.
Awkward. Is that... I'm here, so I feel like I'm doing your podcast.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Maybe this
it's
was
a little
bad
weird.
Idea. Maybe
but
we
you
should
can't.
Have
but you couldn't
room.
Have come over because you are allergic to pets. My pets.
Yours specifically.
Pets.
I'm allergic to dog and cat, and I had a whole that whole testing done where they put a bunch of stuff on your back.
Yeah, I had that too.
And
were you allergic to everything?
How did yours look?
Very horrifying.
Yeah,
and for sure. Like, I was skeptical about getting that allergy test anyway because I don't feel that I have allergies. So it wasn't – but and so for me, it was from a blood test that my Joe Sugarman suggested that I get because he was – I don't even remember why he needed a blood test, but he was like
– Yeah, why would Shugs need a blood test?
I think Shugs needed it because I was sick and he wanted to rule out like mono or something.
Oh, okay. That makes
I don't know.
Sense.
But he said, there's evidence of allergies. I think you should see an allergist. And I was like – All right, Shugs.
Who'd you go to? Whomever
he recommended.
Was
I can't
it
remember.
Was it Dr. Itches?
I don't know. That's a terrible name, though. Terrible name.
Is it? Or is it close to Itches?
That Itches. I know.
I think it's perfect.
It's terrible because people must call him Dr. Itches. And then they have to be like, ugh,
it's Itches. Do you, let me ask you this. Do you love Dr. Joe Sugarman?
So much.
You would love Itches? And you would really love, I want to say Dr. Cher is the gentleman that gave me a...
Down in New Orleans? Dr. Cher.
What? I don't understand
don't
that.
They call people that in, like, come on, Cher. That's like a thing that everyone calls each other Cher.
They
in
do?
New Orleans? You've never heard that?
No, and I've been
all
to
down here in a bayou, Cher.
I'll tell you something about that.
I knew I was inviting
I'll
your,
tell you what,
your New Orleans
I was not that
Cajun voice.
For a short period of time. And we went to see Sonny and Cher. And so that may be what you're referring
no,
to?
No, for
oh,
sure.
It's not.
Because deer, you know, in French means share. Deer is share. So I they say that, like, oh, share. Don't worry about
that
a share.
That makes sense then. Because I saw that when I was overseas. We went to Paris, my wife and I saw The Share Hunter. And that was that Robert De Niro film where the fella comes out of Vietnam.
Correct, yeah. The Share Hunter,
so
sure.
So that makes sense because it's the same as Dale.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I see. Cajun guy explains this joke. Yeah. All right, he's doing. He's gone.
He's gone. But what were we saying? Cher, Sonny Cher.
Dr. Cher's good. Dr. Cher. As well.
What does he do?
He gave me a
That doesn't sound like anything I need.
Yeah, why wouldn't it?
Proctology?
You gotta have the backside looked at from time to time. Why wouldn't you?
I don't think it comes up for women the same way.
Maybe it does not.
Because you don't have a prostate. We don't have a prostate.
Yeah, but you you still have intestinal troubles. I was having intestinal troubles.
I see.
What am I thinking about? Colonoscopy.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah, you said I thought you said something like proctology. Yeah that's still the same thing.
I had a colonoscopy. He gave me a colonoscopy and an endoscopy. Endoscopy goes through your throat. Colon goes right, oddly enough, through the colon.
They meet in the middle. They happen at the same time.
They meet and hopefully the cameras take a picture of each other.
Oh, hush here.
Oh, how you doing? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I haven't had to go to Dr. Sher yet. I now know
he's the greatest.
A great personality to look forward to. Because I said about Joe, I wish that he was my normal, regular doctor, just my GP.
Very expensive.
Yeah, it is really expensive. You're right.
I would tell you about the time I was in there and Lisa Rinna showed up.
I think you did tell me, but feel free to tell again.
This young lady no longer works there, but she was a bit, even though it's in Beverly Hills, and this guy.
He sees everyone.
He's all celebrity.
Everyone hands him their platinum records, and they're all hanging on the wall.
And so, for the most part, I mean, so for this girl to be you swear on your podcast? I don't know your show. Do you swear?
Oh, yeah, you can swear.
Starfucker. She's a starfucker, and which is bizarre because everybody in there is a star, and then me.
Right. And me.
And, I mean, like, we literally, and we're fun. Yeah. We're doing okay.
Yeah.
But we are literally the least famous of his clients.
Correct.
And so. So it's for her to be a starfucker is bizarre because they all are. So I'm in the room one day and Dr. Sher's got which I love. He's got the old timey thing on his head.
Wait, this is Sugarman, not Sher.
Shugs, Dr.
Yeah.
Shugs.
Yeah.
He's got the old timey doctor thing and he's looking in my throat. You know, you stick it out, puts a little piece of gauze on there.
Yep.
He looks down, he's doing that. And this girl, and I'm guessing she got fired, is like, Dr. Sugarman, Dr. Lisa Rinna is here. Lisa Rinna is here. He's like, well, I'm in with Mr. Pardo, but Lisa Rinna is here. And then he goes, I'm in with Miss. I'll be right with her. Lisa Rinna then pokes her head into my room to see who is Mr. Pardo. And it just occurred to me, and I've told the story before. Maybe she thought it was Don Pardo.
She might have.
Now that I thought that, maybe she thought.
Yeah, maybe that was kind of what I thought when you said that.
I didn't all these years because that was that's a 10-year-old story. You're welcome. That was 2003.
Yeah.
11 years old. that's when I hosted National Lampoon's Funny Money, the game show where big laughs give you big bucks. Then get you canceled. And then I lost my voice. And so I had to go in and get steroid shots so that I can continue with the show. And he also gave me a little something to calm down.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a little something to calm down.
And by that, you mean a back massage by Lisa Rinna. Come in here and relax Jimmy for a second. I could have gone way darker. Could have gone way darker.
I'm glad you didn't.
Let's get back to the allergies.
Hi, I'm Jimmy.
So you got your allergy test.
I do.
On your back.
I wonder if I have the picture here on my telephone.
I wish I had taken a picture of mine. So when they tested me, I was like, go nuts, but just know that I'm not allergic to anything.
And then it turns out.
And then, within a couple of minutes, the itching was so.
It's awful, right?
Horrible.
And you can't do anything about it.
It feels like a prank. It feels like you've been pranked. Like they got you. And now you can't touch it, and now you're just in a room by yourself waiting for them to come in and save you.
Now listen, I'm listening, yet distracted. I can't believe I deleted it because I enjoyed showing
the picture
people
of your rashy back.
My rash back.
You pretty much allergic to everything?
Yes.
Also, can we talk about what they put in that in there? Because they didn't tell me anything that they were pricking me with.
What do you mean?
And then they give you the list.
Oh yeah.
Right afterwards and show you what you're allergic to. And I feel like if I had had the choice, I know it's just a conceptual thing, but if they had said, here's a decision, would you like us to inject you with just a little bit of cockroach to see if you're allergic to cockroach? I would say, let's pass on that.
Why?
I don't like knowing that. I don't like that someone put any kind of cockroach inside me.
I love the fact that I discovered that that is one thing I am not allergic to. And now
you can eat them.
I am nauseated by them. I am fascinated by the cockroach.
Huh.
They nauseate me. Yet if I see one, I can't stop looking at it.
Oh, interesting.
But when I found out that you could be allergic, I was relieved that I was not. So
just in case
you can't stand looking at them. Is that what you said?
No, I think most people. No, you're fascinated.
I feel the same way. I despise them. They nauseate me, but yet if I see one, it's like, look at that. What's that? What's that?
That's how it is for me with spiders. Like, I can't take my eyes off a spider, even though I get super the willies.
I got no problem with spiders.
No problem at all?
That's not true. I don't like spiders or snakes.
I don't have a problem with snakes,
if that's
really
what it takes.
But where does the snakes thing come from?
That's the great Jim Stafford.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, I don't like spiders and snakes. Matter what it takes to love me. You don't remember that song?
Uh-uh.
Jim Stafford.
I got nothing.
The great Jim Stafford.
I got nothing. Can't have been that great.
That song was number one, I'm going to say minimum 4 weeks.
Okay.
Minimum.
I stand corrected.
A month
I stand corrected.
At the top of the charts.
I apologize to Mr. Stafford.
You don't like snakes. Snakes don't bother you. You're walking on a trail. You see a rattler.
I mean, I guess it would sort of take me aback, but I don't know that I would be like, ah, ooh, I saw a snake. Ooh. I think I'd be like, oof, that was a close one.
You don't think you'd turn into Charles Nelson Reilly?
I think that's what you sound like.
No.
You don't sound like that?
No, I know I should yes and, but I don't like the sound of that sound.
No, I agree.
I don't think I make any sound. I think I just start whimpering.
But I feel like my spider thing comes from being a child and sort of having scary spider experiences. But I didn't ever have a bad snake experience. It's just an innate thing that we have that's primal.
Well,
you're from a group of.
I will tell you this. I grew up. We didn't. I don't think I saw a cockroach until I was in my 20s.
Really?
And, 19 or 20.
And really?
Because I grew up in a and people would always say like.
Well, no. Where did you grow up? You can't just say I grew up in a.
I was
move
about
on.
To.
I see.
You know your interview skills. I hate when people do that, even comedically. I need to apologize.
You do?
Janet?
Yes, Janet. It's Janet.
Mm-hmm. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, then we moved to the south suburbs. And this is weird. I grew up in a town called Hometown. That's not the weird part. And we had a mouse and or rat, I don't know what it was, that lived in our heating ducts.
Mm-hmm.
And we would see the tail sometimes, and it never freaked me out. It never freaked me out.
Yeah.
But now if I saw a rat or something in the backyard where I live now, the authorities would be called. Like,
really?
I would think it's insane.
Really?
But at the time, it didn't – nothing. Huh. Like, oh, there's the guy. Ah, there's the mouse. Or the rat.
How big was the tail? Because if the tail was pretty big, it was a rat.
I'm going to say it's a rat.
Mice are very small.
Yeah, this was you tell me if I 3 feet long, the tail?
May have been a snake.
Oh, Jesus.
May have been that you never saw the front of the rat because you saw the entirety of the snake.
Oh, boy, here I was thinking this whole time I never saw a snake.
Yeah.
But we didn't have bugs. That's the thing. We didn't have bugs.
That's impressive.
So to then when I moved – actually, it was when I moved to California in 1986 to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. My buddy Dave drove out here with me. And the hotel room, I insisted that we leave it because it had – I saw a cockroach.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I can't stay here. There's cockroaches. And he said, you've never seen one? I said, no. And he's like, well, I grew up in the – country, you know, it's a bug. Who cares?
Right.
But to me, it denotes filth and gross, and they gross me out.
Me too. Yeah. And we did have them in Arizona.
Did you?
They call them sewer roaches, and they're like this big.
That's yeah.
And my mom would have them because she lived right near like a big sort of a wild expanse of desert, and they would get in through the drains.
That's so what
we would have to close our drains every night, and then she didn't have full custody. And thank God, because I slept very poorly the nights that I was at her house, because I would wake up in the middle of the night and have to pee and think it was the question of like, do I turn on the light to see whatever horrible creature is down there?
But then you didn't want to step
or
on them accidentally.
Yeah. So you turn on the light. But then like, if you see one, you don't want to leave your bed. It's just horrible. And they're huge. So it's not like a thing where you just sort of it doesn't feel right to like step on it and move on. It's a large creature.
It would disgust me to step
it's
on
bad
it and
news.
Crush it.
Yeah, because that's juicy.
You're right. It's
that's
not
a
just
big
like,
juicy thing.
Yuck. Those big ones are great. I saw one to this day. It was in Pasadena, California. I maintain it was the size of a checkbook. And obviously it wasn't that big, but it was so big that it was like, well, that's insanity. And it was like, so that grossed me out. That was on, I want to say Del Mar was the street.
Stay away from Del Mar. I am surprised that you didn't have bugs growing up in the urban city, because plenty of people, like certainly there are cockroaches in New York, you know?
Well, and in Chicago.
And
we just didn't, wherever I lived, we didn't.
Were you in, was it, I know you said the suburbs, was it more sort of like stacked apartments, or was it just a cute little house?
No, we had you ever see that movie, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble?
No. Oh. I know.
Oh. Well, we lived in one of those bubbles.
That probably explains why you saw that, no, little to no life.
Boy, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what? Ignore everything else I said.
Hermetically sealed.
Except for that rat tail.
Yeah.
And that was just a guy from the 80s. That was just a fellow that was ahead of his time.
Speaking of, checkbook, really? Just kidding. I still have a checkbook.
Big. It was what?
I was making a joke as if checkbooks were obsolete.
I getting still there. Need a checkbook.
They're getting there. I do too.
I like seeing those numbers. I like being able to write it out and understand what's happening.
Right. Opposed to doing it online.
I do both.
Mm-hmm.
But I like having your checks and balances, no mm-hmm. pun intended. Or maybe it was.
Sure.
Not
sure.
It's not your concern. We lived in homes. We actually lived in what they call a duplex.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Are, sure. Know, duplex.
Two homes that share a wall.
Who were your neighbors?
I don't know.
What? Isn't that like, aren't you supposed to have like a weird comedy of errors, kind of a Three's Company sort of vibe with your duplex neighbors?
We didn't.
Like you guys are in on something together, like you're a team?
I don't think we were on this team. I know that they didn't like the apple tree grew, the trunk itself, the roots were on their side of the front lawn,
mm-hmm.
but the tree grew in such a way that it grew in, onto our side.
Mm.
So we would climb it, and then they would always say, you got to tell your kids not to climb the tree. Get them out of the tree. Because if we fell, we could sue them because it was on their
– This is actually – this way, is kind of what I was thinking about. Yeah.
We wouldn't have sued them.
Right.
But they were worried about it.
Ugh, they sound very uptight.
They also kept on saying –
You let them know that the apple doesn't fall from the tree, far from the tushy.
I also told them don't go under the apple tree
good.
With anyone else
but good,
me.
Good.
But me.
Good.
They would insist, hey, if the ball goes into our backyard, please walk around. Don't climb the fence. And so we would spend
– So you in the backyard, you had a fence.
We had a fence between the two.
Yes. The one yard split
into. And by the way, the yards
two.
Probably were no bigger than this room.
I yeah.
mean, they were – small, but yet we insisted on playing fast pitch baseball. Uh-huh. I don't know why our parents didn't go walk the 12 feet to the park.
Yeah.
Go out in the street.
Sure.
You know, but we insisted on playing in this little tiny little area.
I guess I am enjoying the drama that I was hoping for, which is this idea of drawing the line a la Greg and Marcia sharing a bedroom or something like the invisible line of the front yard is sort of funny to me because you don't really see that. It's just a weird in between of having your own house versus being in an apartment complex. There's not really that kind of conversation happening.
I guess there was. We moved from there when I was 14. So any sort of issues with – I do know that when we got aluminum siding, both halves of the thing had to agree to do it.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, you would have to.
Our neighbors to the other side that we shared a driveway with, they so didn't want us climbing their fence. They put the fence in upside down so that those spiky things were on the top.
Oh, my, my.
And one time my foot, I climbed it to get the ball, and my shoelace got caught on one of those spiky things, and I crashed to the ground and shattered my wrist.
Oh, my.
Had to be rushed to the emergency room.
I hope they're happy.
We didn't sue them, though, like we should have.
Who sues anyone except for people who are litigious?
I think a retrospect, we should have sued him and got a couple of bucks out of it.
Yeah?
No. No. I don't think I would ever sue anybody.
I don't think unless I would either.
Unless you were told, you got to sue those
right.
people or that company. Right. I think I could sue a company.
Yeah.
Even then, I think I could probably rationalize not doing it.
Yeah, I think so too. I was thinking about that for some reason recently too. Like, would I sue? I think I was listening to some sort of, unfortunately, like how many mistakes doctors make and stuff and thinking, I don't know, even in the situation where you're so irrationally angry because something horrible has happened to someone you care about, I still feel like I'm so acutely aware that a doctor is just another human being capable of making a mistake or sort of doing the best. I don't know. Malpractice is like a huge thing. This is suddenly a very political podcast.
Politics may not be the word you were looking for. I don't know what that means. Did you want to get more stuff off the ground?
I'm just rooting around in my bag a little bit. This is my podcast. I can make as much noise as
I
want.
You know what? I apologize. It is your show. I guess I just felt that you were distracted and that maybe it was rude to the guest.
That I wasn't listening to the guest? Yeah. You're not wrong.
The worst thing I ever heard was my friend George was married to a lady who was a lawyer who represented a woman who was basically wide awake during surgery. So she
– Yeah, that's terrible.
Heard and felt everything.
Yeah, that's, no, that's terrible.
But couldn't tell them.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nightmare. That's everyone's worst nightmare.
Could you imagine?
That's – I can't imagine, and I'm not going to sleep tonight. That's everyone's worst nightmare for sure.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
You're in – they're hurting you. They're in your stomach.
No. You sue for damages, emotional damages. Well,
it's
for
emotional.
Because you would, it's like you would have PTSD for the rest of your life, I think.
What would you have?
I have PTSD from thinking
that,
about it.
From that sentence?
I can tell right now. Yes. I don't know how long it's going to take me to recoup.
Well.
Or wait.
I was in country, you know.
I don't think I did know that.
I was, yes. I did a very short tour over there. And it just takes time, and you're going to get through it.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome. I mean, the stuff I saw, I don't even want to tell you what I saw. But,
sure.
But I saw some stuff.
Sure. And you're probably still suffering from the PTSD of shattering your wrist.
You like to make humor, and I get it. We're having a good time.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. Who's the we in the you playing baseball?
That's a great question. It'd be probably my brother and my stepbrothers.
And how old are
maybe
all
the
of them?
O'Donnells? Maybe Chris O'Donnell was there. Maybe Paul Partica. Maybe Mike Cusick. Mm-hmm, they could have been in my backyard playing this game. But I want to say, for the most part, in the backyard, it would probably be my brother Mike, who's 2 years younger than me, or my stepbrother Scott, who's 2 years older than me.
Okay.
So and we were basically the three that would play baseball.
Whose kid was your stepfather?
My mom married a gentleman named Ron in 1974, and he had three kids, Tim, Scott, and Ron. And then my mom and dad had me and my brother Mike.
Ron Jr.
Pardon?
I said Ron Jr.
No, it is not.
It's not?
No, different middle names.
Oh, you have to have the same middle name.
I'm a junior.
You are?
Yeah, James Ronald Pardo Jr.
I don't know if I knew that. That does feel weird not to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Catholic thing? Is it in what? Are there certain cultures in which that's more common?
That's a great question. I don't think so, because you hear like you know Charles Howell III. You know, I'm guessing that guy's not Catholic. I'm guessing
he would be Lutheran
or Protestant or rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thurston Howell III might be the person I'm thinking about from Gilligan's Island.
Well, Charles Howell. Wait, is that his name? Professional golfer?
I don't know. Don't ask me anything about golf and expect me to back it up. Oh, because he was well hung?
Yeah, because he's well hung, you idiot. Is that his name, Charles Howell?
I don't know.
Charles Howell III? I forget his name.
I know you said that you didn't know anything about my podcast or anything that I ask, but I do ask about your teenage years.
That's why I sought the opportunity to ask about it.
I know, because you moved from that duplex when you were 14.
That's right.
And you moved, and that's when you moved to a different area of suburbs of South Chicago as well?
I lived in the – here's the deal. I lived at
–
basically 76th and Cicero. That's in Chicago proper until I was eight. Then at eight, we moved to Oak Forest, Illinois, where we lived for 6 months. Mm. Then we moved to hometown Illinois. From 70, I want to say 70, well, four, I guess it was 74. From 74 to 1980, 6 years we lived in hometown. And then we moved back to Oak Forest.
Okay. Hey, my favorite.
I know you were.
You went home.
Yeah, we went home again. And then we were there. I was there until I moved out here in 1995.
Was Oak Forest filled with oak trees?
That was filmed with racists and closed-minded people.
Perfect. That was my next question.
Yeah. It was pretty white.
It was.
Pretty white. There was a Filipino family that lived around the corner.
How does it compare with – my dad's from the north suburbs, like Evanston and Willamette.
Well, that's pretty
– that's pretty white, huh?
Well, that's rich white, but at the same time –
my dad was not rich, so I don't know how that happened.
Evanston's pretty pretty well-to-do.
I don't know.
But it's also mixed. It's also the more north and west you got, the more mixed you got, except for Park Forest, which was south. And that was the first neighborhood that they allowed interracial marriage to live.
Mm. There was some drama when my dad was a kid that a black family moved into my dad's neighborhood.
Oh, is that true?
My dad says that his parents were like the only family, like his was the only family that sort of welcomed them in.
I think mine would have been the only one, too.
And stuff.
I bought tires once from an Indian fella, not Native American, you know.
Indian.
And my girlfriend's dad gave me crap about it. I heard you bought tires from the Indian.
Oh, my God.
I go, I bought them at the Goodyear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's owned by an Indian. You couldn't have found a guy.
Can you imagine the acute awareness of who owns what business and that that's an
shit.
Issue
Go buy the
and
fucking
it's
tires.
Creepy and yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's so strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
How lucky are we that we didn't have that kind of influence to overcome from our families?
Yeah, I don't know. My mom, you know, I've said it before, my mom voted for Jesse Jackson. My mom is a pretty liberal person, pretty open-minded person. But my neighborhood was not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak to a black person until I was working at the mall.
Well, and when were you working at the mall?
Say it again?
When were you working at
Question
the mall?
Question here. I started working at the mall in 1984. I worked at Oranges Records and Tapes.
I can't. The fact that your brain works in years is the opposite of the way mine works. I can't. I'd have to work backwards so hard to try to figure out what year certain things happened to me.
Well, I've answered these questions 1,000 times.
I understand.
So I just remember where I was. I graduated high school in 84.
Okay.
And I started working for my friend Dave in 84, the same Dave that drove out to LA with me in 86.
Mm-hmm.
And then I.
Cockroach Dave, as I now call him.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
Yeah.
Very talented musician, now producer, produces a lot of jazz albums.
Fantastic.
Very talented man, does the theme song for my podcast, a great guy.
Oh, there you go.
He hired me at the record store. And then I believe, I don't have confirmation on this, Janet. There was an opening at another record store for an assistant manager. And I believe Dave recommended me because I think it was either that or fire me because I was getting to be too big for my britches.
I see. Well, that's not a shocker in any way, shape, or form.
Fun. So then I worked at Lincoln Mall for 2 years, and then I moved out here to California from 86 to 87, moved back. Worked at that record store again.
Oh.
Then worked at a record store in Naperville. And then I got hired to work for MCA Records when I was 21 or 22.
So the initial impetus for you to work at the record store was that you genuinely were interested in music?
Loved it. Okay. Loved it. I was there so much that putting me on payroll was the smart thing to do.
Yeah. This feels very John Hughesian to me, the Jimmy Pardo in Chicago loving record story.
Boy, and we were just talking about this. That's the era of movie, too, that made me want to, be an actor. Like, just seeing Andrew McCarthy and
Judd Nelson?
John Cusack was the name I wanted mm-hmm. was looking for. But, yes, even though he was not in the Brat Pack movies. But you know what I mean? Like, that era was like Michael J. Fox in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Secret of My Success.
God, I love The Secret of My Success.
Great. It's horrible.
It is horrible, right?
It's horrible, but I loved it.
And also just the feeling that you get from those kinds of instrumentals where they're just like deeply electronic, synthesized, and saxophone.
Yeah. Yes.
That movie was just on the other day and I was slipping past it and it was just some montage of him being successful
every
secretly.
Every movie had that, right? Yeah, that's...
I hate when I make myself laugh that much.
I like what you do.
Montage of him being successful secretly. and looking and gazing at Helen Slater across like the polo field or whatever was going on there. And I thought, God, that feeling... that I get, that wistful feeling I get from that montage music it only exists in the 80s.
I agree with that and also appreciate it like you do. Who? A quick piece of trivia, who sang the theme song, The Secret of My Success?
The Secret of My Success.
They had one of the quintessential 80s songs, huge. Night Ranger.
Oh, I was going to say Whitesnake, even though I knew that wasn't right.
Oh, here we go again.
That could be... like a drifter. Like a drifter. I was born.
That's a great song.
Night Ranger. What was the other Night Ranger song?
Sister Christian.
That Sister was Christian, now your time has come. Yeah.
Not a fan of that song.
But I like Night Ranger. Got no problem with Night Ranger.
I think that song, that's another one where I don't know if I don't, if I don't know if I like it or not. It's so intrinsically tied to my childhood that I love it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm, maybe I hate it.
Yeah. I think I have those songs. I can't pull one right now.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean I can't masturbate at the moment.
I think Oh Sherry also. That's another one where do I like that or do I just love it because?
I love it. I'm a Steve Perry fanatic. I love it.
Yeah.
A quick side story. This is kind of a fun anecdote. I was at a different mall, Orland Square.
A lot of mall talk for sure.
Well, that's the 80s, baby. That's what we did. A lot of mall talk. I was at the mall with Gary Shera and Paul Boyev. And Gary, so we were there. It's me. But we, no, I apologize. But I believe we ran into Paul. And or no, my apologies. It was me and Paul. We ran into Gary.
Okay. All right.
So Gary, then we're talking, and Gary... we started talking about Steve Perry's new song, and he said, he goes, I love it. You know, should have been gone. Starts singing it at top of his lungs. Uh-huh. In the middle of the mall. All right, walk around the walk, walk around the mall, walk around the mall, run into my mom. And my mom said, sees me with Paul. She goes, where's Gary? I said, well, Gary's not with us. She goes, I swear I just heard him singing Oh Sherry across the, he just did Oh Sherry.
That's so funny.
That's how loud he was. She heard him across the other side of the mall.
And how was the singing voice?
Nice, and Jerry. Well, he was Jerry, and now he's Gary.
That's very confusing.
Moved to Nashville, became a songwriter.
Oh,
toured with some famous people, playing keyboards and doing backup vocal.
Yeah, listen to you with all your music, hot trot friends.
He was in a band called Pearl River that had some success.
I feel like I've heard of it.
And he's a great guy. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Turn Me On in Chicago, the band.
Why did he change? Why did he Gary to Jerry?
I think Gary probably was. Easier to pronounce for people
than Jerry. we're not talking about a big difference. That's crazy.
You just took two
super easy names.
You better shut up so I can compliment you. You make me laugh. You are one of the top 10 people that make me laugh on this planet, and that may be the hardest you've ever made me laugh. Then Jerry? I don't know the answer. I'm sure he gave me the answer at one point.
Get in touch with that guy.
You want me to text him, get an answer?
Yeah, maybe text him.
I'm going to text him right now and get us an answer while we're on the air.
I wish you would.
Okay, hang
this
on.
This is around the corner from you just calling him, and then we're doing some sort of a weird thing where we call people on the podcast, which we've only done. I think I did that once. Also, I say we as if there's more than just me.
Hang on. Quick question.
Also, the weirdest thing is if he had kept it G, but made it Jerry, like Jerry
Well, it
Jewel.
it was Jerry with the G-E.
Was he inspired by Jerry Jewel?
I got to imagine.
Yes or no.
I got to imagine. I mean, weren't we all a little bit?
Let's also acknowledge that she was terrific on Deadwood.
Deadwood's in my top five favorite movies of all
right?
time.
I don't. It's not
I,
a movie.
I call television shows when they last that long. I call them movies.
I see. Yeah, get that answered ASAP.
He may be working. Okay, it is sent. We'll get an answer.
So this teenage record-loving Jimmy Pardo
yes.
that you sent me the picture, which is the first time I've ever seen you as a teenager.
Oh, that was
absolutely
me. I sent
adorable.
You the picture. Thank you.
Also, you sent me like a weird collage where who cut out a picture of you as a teen and superimposed it on a picture of
that
you as a
was,
kid?
The picture of me as a teen was from the record store.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, in fact, in there, I'm wearing a Prince t-shirt from the
yes.
Prince Purple Rain tour.
Oh, well done.
So, and we were not allowed to wear t-shirts at the record store. The chain had a thing, you had to have a collared shirt. But I was going to wear my
what
shirt.
What a prim record store.
I don't agree nor disagree with their philosophies. And there is
you know they're not going to come after you now.
They may. Oh. JR's record shop. Bob and Tom Kennedy were the brothers that owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Huge chain in the Midwest. They did great. Good people. They sold the store. This quick side thing. They had this huge chain, and they sold to Musicland.
Oh yeah!
Literally a year before every record store in the world closed.
Good for them.
Saw it coming.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it coming.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, you know, it's time to get out. And then they got out, and Musicland, which was the biggest,
sure, gone,
probably paid them a gazillion dollars,
yeah.
And then everything closed in a year.
That is amazing timing.
What? Oh, so I had my little name tag on. I was going to wear my Prince t-shirt the next day from the concert, no matter what, even if I got written up or whatever the hell.
Right.
If a big shot came to the store. So what we would do, my friend Keith, a guy named Keith Rutowski, really funny guy, one of the funniest guys I've ever met. He was my manager. He was the manager. I was the assistant. We would do little fun things like on the register. We would make little collages and stuff like that. So he made some – he cut me out of this picture with that, and I think I was probably holding like a gift certificate, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Like Jimmy says, buy gift certificates, and then me right. holding it. So I, for whatever reason, kept that little cutout, and then I – it's on my refrigerator, and I've had that little – hey, there's a picture of me in my Sylvester Stallone tank top uh-huh. at 10 years old. And I just slipped that other one into that little plastic frame.
I gotcha.
And then I was like, oh, I could make a copy of that. And I, by the way, I thought that's they great. Were connected. They're not. They're two separate things.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a neat way to send both images.
It worked just great. I want you to know it worked just great.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about yes. what else you were doing when you weren't super excited about music. Were you playing sports when you were in high school?
No. High school. I did Little League, and where I played, I was the – I don't know. I'm sure this record doesn't hold up. It was either just for the city of hometown, which I'm – now that I'm 40-something years old, I'm led to believe is more the case than what I was told back then. Back then, I was told I was the only player in Little League history to be traded.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I was a dick. I was not a good player uh-huh. at all. At all. And I was a dick to the coach.
Sounds like you're a bad news bear. I like what I'm hearing. You would have fit right in with that cast.
I could have. My big claim to fame is that the gentleman told me to settle. He kicked me off the field one day for being a dick. And he said, you come back here tomorrow. You go home. I'm sending you home. You go home. You come back with a cool head. And I came back the next day with ice under my hat.
Oh, what a listen to dick. You. What a smart ass.
What an asshole.
What a smart ass.
Just an asshole. And just some guy probably making an extra $30 a week
right.
to coach our team.
Right.
You know, in 1978, 79, that would have been. So I tried. My brother was a great athlete. My brother Mike, great athlete. And I was horrible. And I was, you know, a good singer. And, you know, was in the plays and that sort of thing.
But were you like a smart ass across the board? Like for example, what just occurred to me when you said that is I remember now that I, for whatever reason, took criticism very poorly. Like the younger I was, I think I got a little better about it as I got older. But I remember getting a report card from like second or third grade where there was even a note that says, you know, Janet's a great student, but she really has a hard time taking criticism.
Wow.
And I'm wondering – and I think the smart-ass response to any sort of constructive criticism or like actual criticism that doesn't feel good
is to
sort of do something like wear ice under your hat. Like, ha, this is me showing you how little I take you seriously.
Yeah. That was definitely me. There's no doubt about it. I wish I could remember that guy's name and write him an email and apologize.
Sure.
And then have him go, what are you talking about?
Yeah. There's no reason for you not to commit the next 2 months of your life to doing everything to find him.
I probably could figure it out within minutes if I texted another guy.
Yeah.
If I texted Mike Cusick, he would probably tell me. But I tried to play sports, to answer your question. Tried. Awful. Then even in high school, some of the stuff's from my one-man show that I did 2000. I did it back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I did it the first night was September 10th of 2001. And
oh.
then to this day, I cannot remember why we canceled the second night.
Well, if you'd like to just do your one-man show right now, I can just take a break.
But these are stories that are relevant to this era of my life. I tried out for the basketball team. And people that don't know, I'm not the tallest guy, and I certainly wasn't taller in high school. I tried out for basketball, where I heard the coach, the assistant coach, ask the head coach during tryouts, "Have you seen enough? Should I take Pardo out?" And the head coach said, "No, leave him in. I think it's pretty funny."
Oh, come on!
I hear it.
Oh, God. That is a John Hughes movie right there.
Yeah, except that I don't win in the end.
You won. Look at you.
Well, you know what?
You're on my podcast. Yeah. That's a serious win.
No, I apologize. I did win.
You were a loser until this day when you did my podcast.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a good dad. What do you know? I tried out for baseball, stunk. I was on the wrestling team. I was a good wrestler. as all little guys are.
Yeah.
But I hated it. Hated it.
That's interesting, though, isn't it? Like, when you're that age, sort of making the determination that you're going to stick with something that you don't find any pleasure
in. I didn't
like
being hurt.
Yeah, well, that's like, understandable.
You know what I mean? I didn't like that part of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
But did you have that sense getting ready to go to rehearsal? Listen to me. Who wasn't in sports? Getting ready to go to practice. Would you have that sort of feeling in the pit of your stomach? Like, you hated that much where you'd be like, why am I doing this? Or was it just sort of like, ugh, this is part of my routine and my schedule, but I acknowledge that it's not the coolest thing in the world.
I don't think it was any of that. I think I just kept going to it. You know what I mean? Like, I just was like, well, I'm in wrestling. And, you know, that's what you do. You participate in sports. That's what I grew up in the South Side of Chicago. It's sports. Everybody does sports. I'm in sports.
Yeah.
I'm not some theater queer, you know.
Yeah.
And then one day I just was like, you know, so then I became the manager of the basketball team, which seemed.
That's fun to picture. It is.
Hey, go get the balls. It's horrible. It's so demeaning.
The manager.
But I felt like I was part of the team.
Uh-huh.
My freshman year, I was new to the school. I asked Brian O'Shea. I had heard he was having a party. And for maybe one of the only times in my life, I had the balls to go up and say, I heard you're having a party. I don't have any friends. Can I come?
Oh,
I'm about to cry thinking of that.
Oh my gosh.
And he said,
"Did you really not have any friends? You just named all these great people.
We just moved
that
there.
You're still
we just
impressive.
Moved there. We moved
you
in 1980.
Just got there."
And he was like, "Yeah, of course. Why? I didn't know you weren't invited. Yeah, of course.
Good for you."
And I went and I made out with Lauren Moran, Laura Moran. I don't know. Should I give her name? That doesn't seem. She won't care. Maybe she will.
I don't think she'll care.
Made out 1980.
That's good. Yeah. If she has a problem with the fact that you just outed her as someone that you made out with, we're in trouble.
I'm not going to my high school reunion this year, so maybe I should send an apology.
You have so much apologizing.
I probably should send them. You know what I should do now? I think about it. I should send them a video.
Yes, you should.
Saying that I'm there.
I think you should. They're going to be wondering. Everybody's going to be talking about it.
Fucking
it's
horrible would that
only
be?
Thing.
Nobody would give a shit that I'm not there. But I'm so.
Hey, everybody, listen, I'm so sorry.
How awful would that be? Hey, we got a DVD for Jimmy Pardo. Listen, guys, I'd love to be there. You know that. It hurt pills me that I'm missing it. Oh, so presumptuous and awful.
God, that would be the worst.
I wish I could even do it for the joke. I couldn't even do it for the joke.
No.
Of just thinking one person that's going, turn it the fuck off.
Yeah. Just that one person. I hear you.
I did tell you.
That's so funny, though.
I told you. I went to my high school, the 20-year reunion, and I had the game show. I had two shows on at the time. I had Movies at Our House and IMC and the game show. And I came in, and I was also huge on the Bob and Tom radio show, which is all over the country. So I come in with Danielle. Danielle and I had just been married, you know, 10 years ago.
Guys, just so you know, you probably already know this, but of course, the lovely Danielle Koenig, who's done the JV Club podcast.
Yes, and it's a great episode from what I hear.
Great.
And we walk in. I got a beautiful suit that was, you know, there was a game show, you know, wardrobe, you know, so just, you know fitted beautifully. And I walk into my reunion, like, with my beautiful wife, who's 7 years my junior, and, you know, fuck off. You know, all of you, in my head, all of you can go fuck yourselves. TV stars. I got two TV shows, you assholes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Walking in with my beautiful brand new bride. Couldn't, you know, walk in. And we get there. Honey, we got to come a little late. You know, we get there.
Right.
And we come in and we get there right as they're organizing the group photo, which shows you nobody even knows I'm missing.
That's right.
You know, so they're organizing the big group photo. And so I come – they go, hey, we're taking the photo. So I go sliding in to the front and somebody goes, he's here. And somebody goes, who? They go, Jimmy Pardo. She goes, why does that matter? And they go, he's on Bob and Tom and he's got TV shows. And then another guy's like, hey, my kids are big fans of the game show.
Oh, this is all.
So that part went great.
Yeah.
But I just love that the very – like,
why does that matter?
First, it was like exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here we go.
Yeah.
He's here. Goddamn right, I'm here.
Yeah.
Why does that matter?
But did you feel like you had something to prove in that way? Because – like, how were you perceived in high school? I know that you weren't great. You were good at wrestling.
I don't know how I was perceived in high school. That's interesting. I have better memories of grade school with these with the names I mentioned. Paul Partick,
right.
Mike Cusick, Paul Boyev.
How'd you do with the ladies in high school?
In high school, I dated Shirley Hagen, that was not a good Paula Cazzo, I dated.
I mean, you know that I don't require you to name people's first and last names.
Paula was great. I liked Paula a lot. Shirley's dad went on to win some sort of lottery, so they're gazillionaires.
Oh, wow.
Her brother Fred was a great actor, great guy. Enjoyed his company. Then there was Paula, and then Chris was the girl that lived across the street from me, and she and I dated for – I was a junior. She was a freshman. I think we dated for most of my junior and senior
year. So you did great.
Yes, she was great.
It sounds like there was always an iron in the fire.
Well, there was Chris, and we she was great.
Well, do you feel like – the reason I ask is because – what has been so interesting for me about doing the guys, because mm-hmm. I'm so used to talking to women, is that, you know, a lot of women had similar experiences that I had in high school, which is that we did have these intimate friendships. We did have these talks, you know, and these sort of and the guys that we were friends with also kind of had this sort of like introspective or like, you know, I mean, I was in theater, so I had a lot of like sensitive gay male friends and stuff like that. And so it's just interesting to hear. I'm pleased that you had girlfriends because, like Oscar Nunez, for example, who loves you and loves your podcast.
I
was too busy getting drunk and hanging out with my buddies. And like, it never even occurred to me that girls would be into me. And, it's just funny to imagine friends that you have now as be like, there being a time in your life where you would have related to them not at all. So I'm just I like kind of imagining.
I think
where
I'm related to everybody
sort of,
I'm friends with now. Yeah. I think because I was in theater, and I always said that I wish I would have embraced my theater nerd more. I tried so hard to fit in, you know, by trying out for basketball and baseball and that.
Yeah.
That eventually I settled in to, you know, I'm a theater guy. You know what I mean? These are my friends. My friends.
Because now you are one of those people like. First of all, I share your feeling about me, which I'm one of my favorite people in the world, and also so yourself and so kind of clear about who you are. And I'm interested in when that starts for people and how long it takes. And I've had friends who kind of just were like that. Like my friend April Richardson has just always kind of been the person she is now, and very much knew that and felt comfortable in that. And then there are people that, you know, kind of come into their own and go, wow, I wish I could have embraced this sooner, but I couldn't have because that's just not the way, you know, my development worked out. But
I don't think I think I was still, even as a comic, I was trying to, when I first started, I was trying to fit in with, you know, what I perceived to be the cool kids, you know?
Yeah.
So like I wasn't even finding myself then. I would say 1993 is when I really figured out who I
was. See, look at you with the date. You're able to pull out the date right away.
Because I made a big change of comedy there where I that's the year that I threw away my act basically and started brand new and just started by improvising jokes and stories on stage and getting away from trying to be Paul Reiser and Richard Lewis.
You're blowing up.
It's a very important.
You're blowing up.
All right, we got an update.
It's Gary and Jerry?
Yeah, here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Never readier.
Excellent question.
He started it with excellent question.
Excellent question, Zim. He's being funny. That we both – he dated a girl named Karen who I was crazy about and everybody knew it. But she had a little brother who I think was like little brother was like two when we were in high school. So it was one of those deals. And he couldn't pronounce his J's. So I was Zim and he was Zeri.
Oh, that's cute.
Excellent question, Zim. LOL. I preferred the hard G sound when coupled with my last name, especially back when I was slurring my words. Anyway, it also helped out when I was living with my folks. My dad, Jerry, would answer the phone and start talking with my friends since we kind of have similar vocal tone. And they'd talk for about 5 minutes before I'd intercept. So there's the not so quick answer. Of course, I still answer to Jerry. Oh. Well, listen, I don't know if Jerry wanted me to give that answer on the air.
I guess that part of it you forgot to mention to him that we were going to be.
Yeah, I guess I probably should have informed him that I was going to be relating that. Did I give his last name? I don't know if I did.
I can't remember, but I think you did.
All right, Gary Shura.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Great
100%
guy.
100% yes.
Great guy. One of the few people I really keep in touch with, like two people from my school, Gary and Paul Boyev, who's a doctor down in Florida and still plays guitar. I was in a band with him in high school.
Oh, you were in a band in high school?
Yeah. Boy, this is not going to be an hour. This is too much of me talking. I think I'm interesting. I'm sorry.
No, this is what the podcast is.
I'm a bore.
Get out of town.
I was in a band called Rainbow Bridge in high school.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a minute for that.
It was a Jimi Hendrix album title. That's fantastic. Why it was hip and cool. It fantastic. Was not as My Little Pony sounding right. as it is. Rainbow Bridge. It was either that. I vetoed this. Some Mountains. And I wish I would have gone with Some Mountains.
But I don't know, though. Some
Please
Mountains.
Please welcome Some Mountains.
I don't know. That's so – how many?
Some.
That's not enough. I want to know. I want more information.
I wish I would
embrace
the humor of that. Also, Large Men was the other one. Please welcome Large Men.
Large Men's great.
And These Guys. Please welcome These Guys.
These Guys is cute. Rainbow Bridge, though.
Rainbow Bridge is what I you know, it was one of those things where I didn't – I had no sense of humor about the band. Uh-huh. None. None. It was
– What did the music sound like?
I've said this before and I'll say it again. Musically.
Yeah.
Paul Boyev on guitar, Mike Rago on bass, Brian Mell on drums, Jim Rago on keys. Then Paul quit and a guy named Chuck, whose last name I couldn't tell you for $7 million, replaced him on Flying V, and we played a lot of UFO and Scorpions. But before that, including with Chuck, musically, these guys were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Even in high school.
So you were just singing.
Singing, and I should have been fired day one. Not good. Not good. Not good. Not good. They should, truth be told, they should have fired me and got Gary Shera, who had a beautiful singing voice and probably wanted to be in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he wasn't a band. I don't remember. It's I wasn't keeping tabs. I was too humorously, humor-free-ly enjoying Rainbow Bridge. We played a bunch of gigs. You know, we did battles.
But original
bands.
Stuff or covers or both?
We did, if we did a 10 song set, 10, 9 originals.
Okay.
No, abort. 9
oh.
covers.
Oh, okay. One original. All right. Opposite.
The original, I'm sure, was decent, but I didn't know how to write lyrics and stuff. So, you know, it was just me talk, Frank Zappa E. Singing the words, but we did.
But they didn't kick you out, so
they should have. I don't know to this day.
There must have been some redeeming something happening.
I think I had the
teammanship.
Drive. I was the guy that it was my band. I kind of started
well, you'd managed
it.
A ball team.
You're an asshole. Yes. But you know, we did. In that band, we did a lot of Jimi Hendrix and a lot of Chicago. And we also did some Santana. We did Evil Ways by Santana. And then we flipped, and all of a sudden we figured out, you know, nobody wants to hear just that. So we did some Rush, and we did some –
That's not easy stuff to cover, so they must have been great.
These guys were phenomenal. And then, like I said, when Paul quit and we got Chuck, then it was a lot of UFO and a lot of Scorpions because he was a big Michael and Rudolph Schenker fan.
Okay.
And
Schenker is an unfortunate last name.
Not if you're German. They're good. They're good people. Okay. They're Shankers.
All right.
So yeah, I was in a band in high school. Rainbow Bridge.
Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Rainbow Bridge is probably a really great Rainbow Bridge into this game of MASH that I'm going to play with you.
And this is, of course, Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. Is that what we're doing?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So it's all Alan Alda
it's
trivia.
It's all Alan Alda trivia.
I got to be person. 9,000 to make that joke?
Alan Alda. No one has made that joke ever.
You're...
Mostly because girls played it. So they really think MASH this game when they think MASH rather than thinking about MASH.
I don't even know what this is. I've never heard of it.
It's going
to
be great.
But you've explained it to me prior to our recording.
Yeah.
I look forward to playing it.
Good. That's really, really comforting because we're about to do it right now.
We do it right now.
The first category.
Is it a time thing? Do I have to answer it a timely fashion?
Well, yeah, you have this kind of top of your head answers. You can flex your improv muscles. I realize that an hour from now, when you're still obsessing over this episode because I'm unforgettable, you will think, why didn't I say blank?
Oh, I will. There's no question.
But.
I still think I owe a guy an apology from,
from
1978.
I know you do. Okay, so, but also know that the pressure's on me to come up with categories based on everything we've just talked about. There's a lot of pressure.
These are categories based on what we've discussed.
And some old chestnuts that I enjoy. I'm going to start out with an old chestnut that we would have done in a game, a MASH game in the 70s or 80s, depending on how old you are.
At risk of interrupting.
Yeah.
If you use the phrase old chestnut one more time, I'm punching you in the balls.
Now. You can eat 3 different old chestnuts. <Just kidding. laughs> All right.
The second one.
Give me three dream cars. And it could be, your answers can be either, it could be a mix of both. It could be either all things you would have answered when you were 16 years old, or it could be current day answers, or it could be a blend. You could say, I'm going old school.
I'll go back then. Three dream cars would have been Trans Am.
Great.
That was kind of it. Mm-hmm. Trans Am. I didn't like sedans until I got older.
You wouldn't want like a Corvette or like a Porsche?
Yeah, Corvette and Porsche. Those are the three. There you go. But Trans Am was I did have two Firebirds. I had a 67 and a 71 Firebird. Stick shift. Hot stuff. That's right.
Got to get to that Rainbow Bridge.
A lot of tail.
By flying the Firebird.
Copper 67, ooh. Silver, champagne, silvery. It was a 71 or 72. Forget what year.
Sounds pretty good. You were a car guy.
Then I had a Fiero, Pontiac Fiero.
People like, I think Fiero would end up on this list sometimes when I was playing MASH with people. People like the Fiero.
Well, but I bought one. It was not a dream car. I bought one.
Yeah.
I had money.
You were living the dream. Even if it was somebody else's.
That's right.
Okay. Next category is going to be, you wake up tomorrow.
Yes.
And you have Matrix style essentially downloaded and mastered a musical instrument 3.
Guitar. Mm-hmm. Well, guitar, piano, and drums.
Great.
You know, your staples.
Let's see which one you end up with. It's going
to
be great.
I wanted to be in Rush.
Oh, Rush. That's a good drummer, huh?
Neil Peart.
One of the best.
Some people think he's a little too mechanical, but others will tell you he's one of the best.
Because he's so precise and syncopated.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'd like to have maybe a drum off with Stuart Copeland and the Rush drummer.
Not a fan of Stuart Copeland.
You're not.
I like him personally. I bet him. The gentleman was kind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I've only ever heard the reverse. I've only heard people say like, he's a great drummer, but I hear he's a jerk.
Oh, he couldn't have been nicer to me. Couldn't have been more pleasant.
I'm pleased to hear it because I am a fan of his.
His drumming, I understand he's great. I hear he's great. It just does nothing for me.
Interesting. But nothing. Did you like The Police? Did you? The band.
I thought you meant the law enforcement.
Yeah,
agency.
I know you did.
And
I know you did. I should have been more specific.
No, man. I don't need the man keeping me.
Sure.
I got no problem with the police. My son Oliver loves them.
I love that he loves the police.
Loves them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a car ride I'd like to be on with listening to Oliver,
him singing along to Kiss is the greatest.
Oh, I bet.
That's the greatest.
I don't really like Kiss, so that's not the greatest.
You'd like it when a six-year-old sings along with it.
You're right.
It's adorable.
Anything your son does, I'm on board.
I don't disagree.
Okay, next category will be you know what? We're going to do it. The same holds true for the musical instrument, but this time it's a sport. You're absolutely excellent.
I'm the best there is?
As of tomorrow. As of this MASH future,
I wake
three.
Up tomorrow. I'm the baseball,
mm-hmm.
and then baseball,
mm-hmm.
golf,
baseball, and golf.
Yeah,
great. Giving yourself a 2 out of 3 chance.
Although I would love to, you know, you got to put basketball in there.
Yeah, let's throw basketball
because
in
I
there.
Tried. You know, I used to in grade school. I would dream. This is too much information. I would dream. I was so bad at kickball. Like I could never kick it as far as the bigger kids. I would dream about a way to put a magnet in the ball and then a giant magnet like where the home run would be so that I could kick it and then get a home run. Is that not heartbreaking and sad?
It's wonderful.
That may be the first time I've ever said that
That is
out loud to anybody.
A wonderful, vulnerable fantasy.
Right? I mean, that's...
Yes. That's great.
That's what grown-ups are all about, kids.
That's what this podcast is all about. I just hit a major home run, probably because there was a magnet in the ball. All right. Next one is going to be three... All right, sure. So you can have three singers and or bands. Drop of a hat, anywhere you are, play a song that you request. You don't have to name the song, but just three singers or bands.
It's singer or band?
That
or,
just suddenly could, like right now, all of a sudden pop in and play you a song.
Steve Perry, Peter Cetera, and Meatloaf.
Great. Okay. I'm going to use this new MASH category because someone just emailed it to me. I thought it was cute.
Okay.
I'll be interested to hear what your response is. You may hate it. I enjoy it. The category is you have an amusement park.
A what?
An amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
Three. What would the themes be?
What about my themes? You like Fantasyland, that sort of thing?
I guess. Or like, you know, how the Peanuts characters are at, or it could just be like, you love cars, so it would just be like a car-themed amusement park. Or
it'd be music-themed.
Music thing, great.
And you'd have your different lands. You'd have your jazz land. You'd have your rock and roll land. You'd have your prog rock band area.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Now I need two more. Yeah. Two more theme parks. You're so angry with me.
You know what?
Disgusted. You're disgusted.
Email this person back. It's a good idea, but it'd be fleshed out.
Think about something. You know what? Why don't you think outside of yourself for a second and think, what kind of theme park would I like to take Oliver to? What would Oliver love?
Well, DC Comics, comic books.
Great.
Comic book.
I just shamed you into coming up with another answer.
Well, no, that was going to be the next one anyway, yeah. But I kind of thought like that they already kind of do that. But yeah, superheroes.
Yeah, that's great. I don't think that they really have something that's like...
Superheroes.
I got it.
Oh. animals. Animal theme park. You know, like a zoo. Idiot.
Idiot.
I am an idiot.
Wonderful. I'm going to volunteer this. This yes? could be... I believe that Danielle did answer it. This could be answers from back in the day. Three women that you feel you have a crush on or that you would like to, you know, it's not going to be your new wife.
But just Bernadette Peters.
Wonderful.
It could be from my childhood as well.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Christy McNichol.
Oh, sure. Little
Diane
Darlings.
Diane Franklin.
Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead?
Yes.
Well done.
In fact, you know what? Well, Bernadette Peters has been there forever, but Deborah Foreman would be the other one. Those were the ones growing up.
Oh, Last American Virgin? Was she in that one?
No, that's Diane Franklin.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She's in both of those. Wait, Deborah Foreman, I know it. Don't tell me. I want to say she was in April Fool's Day.
She might have been.
But what else was she in?
Can't pull it. She was in Real Genius.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, just for a second. But before that, she was in My Chauffeur, I want to say.
Okay.
And what was the other one she was in? Deborah Foreman.
Oh,
she was in a ton.
She was in a ton.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
She and Diane Franklin.
She for sure was in April Fool's Day.
I'm guessing you're probably right.
Yeah. I don't know why I can't picture either, because it's not like Fast Times, but something in that realm, I thought.
I just can't pull it.
I can't.
Even though I know, I mean, I know her.
Intimately.
You
know her work intimately.
You don't think I've spent some time looking up Diane Franklin and Deborah Foreman on the World Wide Web as an adult.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong.
I would have assumed that you did.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
I did
that's what
when I had Web TV.
Right.
Go ahead.
Vacation location. Vacation home location. So anywhere in the world, you have a splendid vacation home.
I have a second home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting and neat. You know, I've only been to Hawaii once, but it seems like a good place to have a second home.
I don't disagree at all. Two more.
Hmm. Rome, Italy. I enjoyed Rome, Italy.
Lovely.
And... Portland, Oregon.
Yes, indeed. What a gem of a city. Shout out to Portland. Shout out to Portland. All right, final category for James Pardo. This is tough. This is tricky. You know what? I'm going to stay with...
Chestnut? Not chestnut. I apologize.
I'm gonna say three cereals. That become sort of your, like, drop of a hat. You could have access to this delicious cereal, whatever you want it. That's terrible. We can choose.
I can't remember the one I like. It's not Raisin Bran, but it's like a flake like that, a bran.
Yeah.
With
does it have a raisin?
Bran with raisin and maybe a granola.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I forget
yeah.
what that thing's called.
Oh, I think I got that for you.
It's delicious.
One time.
What?
Like a Raisin Bran Crunch or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But it's not Raisin Bran.
Okay.
What do you mean you got that for me? What does that mean?
I don't
mean?
Know. There was just some weird thing where somehow I knew what your favorite cereal was because someone answered a creepy question, so I bought you a box of it.
Yes, you did. That's true. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
It is that. I like that.
That's maybe why I came up with that idea, which I didn't remember why I came up with it.
Well, who doesn't like Frosted Flakes? You know what I mean? You enjoy the Frosted Flakes, that other, let's call it Raisin Bran Crunch.
Yep.
And then, you know what? I like those, I think they're just called O's.
Oh, yeah. God, I haven't had an O. Are they still around?
What are you thinking about? The same one? It's like a yellow box with just an O.
Yeah, and then there's a little bit of like crunchy granola kind of stuff inside the
delicious.
O.
Delicious.
And it's the kind of thing where it is a cereal where you do need to let it soften a little bit or it scrapes the roof of your mouth.
Exactly,
but when the milk gets absorbed by that O, let me tell you.
You might
almost
makes
you
exactly. There's two improvisers coming up at the same sort of
angle. All right. Now, the way that I determine what the outcome of the Smash game is going to be is that I do a thing that I then ask you to tell me when to stop. So tell me when to stop.
Now.
Great. One, two, three. All right. I'm going to pause this, do some quick calculating, and come back with your 100% guaranteed Smash future.
I don't know what this...
This is... Listen, you're not going to be disappointed, mostly because you chose all of these, so you're in trouble if you picked anything that you're going to be disappointed by. Number one, I want to congratulate you on your amazing ability to play guitar. I don't know if that's a situation where you are going to have the opportunity to actually accompany Meatloaf, but he is at your beck and call.
He's excited about it.
I do want to remind you, for safety, though, objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are.
Objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are. Wow, nobody pulls that. That's off Bat Out of Hell 3.
Yeah.
It's a good album.
Yeah.
A little overwrought, but it's good.
Are you saying that other albums by Meatloaf are not overwrought?
That one...
He specializes. His specialty is overwrought.
Life is a lemon and I want my money back.
Yeah. I love Meatloaf too, though.
Objects in the rearview. That's a good. I love that song.
It's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You love that song. I guess it is. I guess it doesn't have to be good for you to say you love it.
Yeah, but
right.
I do love it.
Those things should go well together, but they actually
I bet
don't.
You,
I
bet
that.
You 9 out of 9 people surveyed, other than the two people in this room, would go, "Oh, that's a horrible song." But I love it.
You're probably right.
My pleasure.
Sister Christian, now your time. I want to congratulate you on, this is going to be fun, a fun trip for you to take with Oliver to the animal theme park. Also known as the zoo. You know what? Maybe there's rides. Up in the North Bay in near San Francisco, they used to have Marine World, which was roller coasters and animals. Terrible. A terrible combination.
No, the animals
a roller
like
coaster
it.
That makes you feel sick, that's very loud, and then you go see a lion. Terrible.
No.
Terrible.
Not on my watch.
Marine World Africa USA. That's what it was called.
Right here in America.
Oh, right here in America, right? In the good US of A. Now, I also want to congratulate you for your ability to play golf.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
You know that when you pull up to the golf course in your beautiful shiny Trans Am, people's heads are going to turn.
They sure are.
If not roll.
Hey.
Look. People's heads will turn if not roll.
Look at this asshole. What's going on, Magnum? It's going to be a lot of that.
As you you cockily get out of your car and just dig your fist into a box of O's and just mush a fistful of O's into your mouth before you do
it's
a little.
Be Magnum, it's going to be how you doing there, Bandit?
That's right.
And
that's right.
And I won't be able to answer them because my mouth will be full of O's.
Yeah, that's right. And then they're in the middle of giving you shit, except all of a sudden the passenger door side opens.
Who comes out?
Diane Franklin.
Boom.
The last American version. She was not the last American version. She was just in it.
Well, she's the...
She wasn't a virgin. He was the virgin.
No, he was.
Yeah.
He was the...
last American virgin.
She was the girl of his dreams.
Correct.
And then she slept with the buddy.
That's what happens. Everybody knows. They pick the jerks.
E.G. Daily back then would have been another good choice.
Who's that?
E.G. Daily. She was... wasn't she at Fast Times? Tommy. Come on, Tommy.
I don't know. I don't remember her.
She's laid on the bed, topless.
Oh, well, I'm...
Then she was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Was that Fast Times?
I don't know.
Come on, Tommy.
I can't remember.
How do I remember the line?
I do remember, because you probably watched it over and over and over again, so you could see the boobs.
E.G.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely... If that's the same person from Pee-wee...
Yeah, it's her. Yeah. Dottie, is that the character?
Dottie, yeah. Yeah. She was in a... She was in a movie too, where she was like the lead of the lead singer of a band.
Yes,
right. Was that a John Cusack movie?
She had her own band.
Maybe it was a John Cusack movie. I can't remember. I just remember they featured her prominently singing a song.
She has a lot of songs on the Better Off Dead soundtrack, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe she has two songs on there already.
She might play in the Better – she might be in Better Off Dead. I feel like she's in a Savage Steve Holland movie.
I'm doing the
– yeah.
Like the dance that she would do on stage.
I'm going to look that up too.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up too. But I don't want to, I don't want her to steal Diane Franklin's thunder.
No way, man.
And I also don't want to steal the thunder of you have enjoying a beautiful vacation home in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, I love it up there.
And that is how we play a MASH game, and that is how we finish the podcast. Except – that because this is the Boys of Summer series, I do like to try to sing a snippet of Don Henley's Boys of Summer. If you can contribute to that, I would really appreciate it. You could start anywhere in the song. Let it rip. Do you need any cues of what the
Skills of Summer?
I'm sorry, but that's not what the, that's. I apologize, but that is not what this series is about. Out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. A little voice inside my head said,
don't look back, you can never look back.
I thought I knew what love was, what did I know? Those days are gone forever, I should just
let them go.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.